first speaker is Matt. How would you like to?
Hi, everybody. I'm Matt, and I'm an addict.
Amen.
Gifts of recovery. The way this program works is if I get any gifts, what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to give away everything I got. You know what I mean? I got a lot of gifts from active addiction. I'm going to briefly run through them. My active addiction started in 1980 and ended in 1994. And during that time, I got numerous arrests. I overdosed 6 times. I demolished a lot of cars. I wrecked a lot of relationships. I caused a lot of damage and pain to myself and a lot of other people. That's the gifts of active addiction. You know? I was the type of addict that my favorite drugs, my choice of drugs was yours and more. Okay? You know? But particularly, I like the depressant drugs. You know? And I used any kind of depressant drug. I like the hallucinogens. You know? I did drugs I didn't even like. Many acts like that. You know, did you ever have a situation where you really don't like this drug, but everyone else is doing it, so you did it too? So I just did any kind of drug. You know? One time some friends of mine thought it was funny. They gave me a laxative. I took that too. What the hell? And I took anything. I'm a garbage head. I'm an addict. You know? And how does Narcotics Anonymous define an addict? An act is simply anyone whose any mood or mind-altering substance affects any area of life. It affected every area of my life. You know? It affected every area of my life. When I was growing up, I was a pretty popular kid. I got along with everybody, had a lot of friends, and did a lot of stuff. You know? I got into drugs, and I thought that, you know, hey, my world's expanding, you know, new horizons, you know, different trips, and this and that and the other thing, and all this other stuff. You know, I didn't see it at the time, you know, I thought I was broadening my life. But actually, what happened is my life got a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller. That's what active addiction did to me. You know, at some point, you know, I had a lot of fun, you know, experimenting with drugs and so on and so forth. You know, but from day one, it was used to get in trouble. Used to get in trouble. Used to get in trouble. You know, and I had 2 things that are hallmark of any addict. That's the obsession and the compulsion to use. I keep it simple. Obsession is simply, I ain't using right now, what am I thinking about doing? Using. Okay? And did you ever use what I was thinking? You know, it's there and you just don't even think about it, it's automatic, I use it. So that's the type of person I was like. And like I said, the gifts of my active addiction, there was a lot of pain, misery, trouble. You know, I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous voluntarily. I got forced here. The drugs pushed me in here. You know? I had a lot of pain, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, I don't want to focus this talk, you know, it's about the gifts of recovery. So that's enough said about my addiction, you know? You know, I got very sick. You know, take 50 pounds off me. What do you got? You know what I mean? Take somebody who is pissed off all the time. What do you got? You know? Take someone who is very sick. You know, what do you got? Somebody with legal problems, family problems, emotional problems, thinking problems, job problems, you know, everything. That's what I was like when I got here. You see? And I toyed with the idea that it was one particular drug that was my problem. You know? In Narcotics Anonymous, we don't say that. Yeah. That no drug is particular, you know, you don't pick and choose here. This is not like a cafe. But that's what I did. I thought it was one particular drug was my problem. So I was willing to give that drug up, and I even sought help to give that drug up, but I wouldn't give up the rest. You know, I was in denial. I didn't have problems with other stuff. Actually, these other drugs would help me stay away from this drug. That was my thinking. Okay? It's my sick thinking. You know, I didn't get a day clean until I got to Narcotics Anonymous. And that wasn't till December 13th, 1994. You know, I tried things my way. I got very sick. I got very hurt. And I got very damaged. So when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was broken. You know, but the neat thing was, and now I want to talk a little bit about the history of this area, because I was here from the start of this area and the start of this retreat, you know, even before this retreat happened. I remember at the time is that I wasn't sure anything was going to work for me. I had drugs have robbed me of any self-confidence to stay clean. Yeah, I had toyed with recovery, but I just didn't think I could do it. So what I did was I went after this recovery thing like I went after my addiction. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. You know, I got more than one home group. My sponsor told me not to do that. I didn't listen to him. I got more than one home group. I got commitments. You know what I mean? I was secretary in meetings. I ended up clean, huh? But, you know, I wanted to get involved in there. And there was a job that needed to be done, and I got involved. You know? I got involved with the steps. Okay? And I was doing all these things, you know? And what happened was is that anyway, there was one meeting in Johnstown, and the meeting was an old one, actually. It was the High Hopes Group of Narcotics Anonymous. And that was my first home group. And it started in 1982, and it moved around a bit. It faded. It came back. People brought it back. But that was the oldest group. There was only one AA meeting, or NA meeting in Johnstown. And what happened was is that when I got clean there in 1994, what happened was is some people came from out of town and wanted Narcotics Anonymous, and pretty soon we had two meetings. Then we had three meetings. Then we had four meetings. Okay, and we had four meetings, and some couple members came from Pittsburgh, and they knew what an area service committee was. We had no idea. We thought we were doing good because we had four secretaries that actually got along. We had meetings, and you know, and people were actually attending. We thought we were doing good. And they started teaching us what this area is all about. So then we decided that, hey, that, you know, hey, that there's addicts dying. You know, what's the most important task of any area? Well, the meeting was, you know. What's the second most important task besides the meeting was? The answering service. We didn't have these things. So we had a group, you know, a core group of people. There were four meetings, and there was a core group of people. There were some people that knew about what area service was all about, so we formed an area. We got together, and we all sat down, and we decided, well, what are we going to name it? Well, my idea was called Matna. You know, that was my idea what to name the area. And of course that failed. You know, I had even had this bullshit dope fiend story, you know, oh, mountain area territory, narcotics and all. You know, it make it sound good, but I wanted to call it Matna. And I got voted down. So what we ended up calling the original area, and actually Edgar over there has the original shirt there, is we call it CASNA, Cambridge Somerset Area Narcotics Anonymous. Okay? Now, the gifts, and this is what this is about, is the gifts. See, I never, you know, there's a real important gift that you get from giving yourself to this program and getting involved in service. A very important gift is the involvement. If you get in the middle of, in the bed of NA, you don't fall out. See, a lot of people come in here, and I've seen this over the years I've been around, is that, you know, that hey, you know, I get the nudge from the judge, I just need that flip. You know, I'll go outside and smoke. You know, I don't even want to, you know, I'll come late and get that foot and get the hell out of here. See, I'm done. When I got here, I was done. You know, I got to the point where no matter what I used and what quantities, it wasn't doing it for me. But then, you know, I discovered this early on, you know, I had a sponsor who was very service-oriented. Service is what works, you know what I mean? So we get involved here, and we got these apps, and we actually get along at that time. We get together and we decide we're going to form an area and we're going to get a meeting list. We're going to get an answering service. You know, and eventually, you know, we were pretty small then. You got to understand it. You know, the fellowship in this area was really small. There was maybe, honestly, there couldn't have been more than 30 active members. And half of them were in and out. You know what I mean? We were really small, but we had these grand ideas. You know, he had these grand ideas of what we were going to do. We're going to do this. And then we were going to outreach to this one. And then we were going to have hospitals and institutions. And we were going to do everything like a well-established area could do. We only had a couple people. We tried. You know, and a funny thing happened. You know, we started off with four meetings. And then there was a fifth meeting. Then there was a sixth meeting. Then there was a seventh meeting. And stuff started happening. We started getting a literature stockpile. Real important stuff, folks. There was no NA literature in this area. None. You know? And then Indiana came down and they said, hey, we see what you got going on. We want to join your area. You know? Then Altoona came down. And then, and Clarion County came down, and I even heard a rumor that maybe State College wants to join our area. It's been growing ever since. And the gifts from that is what part did I play in? Was I there? Did I go to areas? Did I serve? You know? I did the H&I commitment for a number of years. I didn't complete, for personal reasons, I never completed a full term, but I had the job 3 times, and I had to either leave town or step down for one reason or another because of employment and that. So I was the H&I chair for 3 times. We took on commitment. You know, these are the gifts that I could give back what the scholarship gave to me, is to help another suffering act. That's the whole point of this retreat. The idea here is to bring addicts who've never heard, you know, people that actually been living this program a while, share their experience, the opportunity to share experience, strength, and hope to receive and give, you know, an act of empathy. You know what empathy is? Empathy is seeking to understand through one's own experience. It's not sympathy. I don't have any sympathy for anyone that says, oh, I used and I fucked up my life. I don't feel sorry for you. I understand you, but I don't feel sorry for you. And here's the program. Here's what worked for me. How I messed up my life just like that. This is the steps we took to get there. You know, the gift is in giving. If I don't give you what I got, do I have anything? See, as I recall, when I was using, right, I didn't use drugs for you, or you. Matter of fact, you and you might use, I want some of your drugs too. That's how I recall how that worked. You know, and if I thought you used too much, you know, I mean, that guy's an asshole. You know, he used on some of my drugs. That's mine. You know? Yeah, it was all about me. You know? Feed my head. You know? And it got to the point where, you know, I didn't want to do this no more. But if I didn't do it, you know, I got very sick. Very sick. So, you know, Narcotics Anonymous. See, it was, and the way you learn how to do services, I sponsored it to it. You know, people showed me, how do you do this? Like I said, we wouldn't even have an area if people didn't come with experience. How does an area work? I don't know what chair is. Yeah. I didn't know what Robert's Rules of Parliamentary Procedure. We had growing pains, ladies and gentlemen. We had conflicts. Yeah. I remember me and another addict that we were involved in the core group of this area. We got mad. I forgot about what. That's how important it was. But we both there, we said, this will never work. We're walking out. It'll all fall apart. Hey, without me and this other guy, hey, we're like the keystones of this thing. And without us, this thing's going to fall apart and die. Yeah? And I remember we stayed away because of resentment for a couple months. And you know what? It didn't fall apart. It didn't die. You know, they still went to area service, they still paid the phone service, they still had meeting lists, they still had literature and key tags at every meeting, pamphlets. You know, I mean, it didn't die. You know, that was a lesson of humility for me. That's one of the gifts of my recovery, is humility. Humility is very important. And humility isn't saying I'm less than anybody. Humility is understanding my limitations. And understanding that this is a bigger fellowship than just myself. And understanding the limitations of my experience. My experience can't help everybody in every situation. You know, the ultimate state it says in the basic text for an addict to have is an attitude of humility. Humility is very important. And you know what? I used to think that, you know, narcotics were good painkillers. You know what? Because I suffered from emotional pain from the things I'd done. You know, I used to think, wow, I don't feel no pain when I'm on this shit. You know, but the truth is humility is a stronger painkiller for emotional disorders. That's saying that, look, you know, I can't handle this problem. God, I need your help. Another act, I need your help. I'm limited here. My resources aren't sufficient. That takes humility to do that. That's a gift. That's what was given to me. You know how I got that? I did it the wrong way. I try to do it on my own, you know. Just like I said, I got this area going. We had personal conflicts or whatnot. Walked out, still went on. All right, with tail between legs, came back. You know, we had other struggles too. At one point, you know, in this area, we had a financial crisis. Some money still ended up missing. we had a situation where people, emotions are running high. Some people had the guillotine out. Some people were saying, no, look, what are we going to do about this? You know what I mean? Fingers were pointing everywhere. We don't pull ourselves apart. We had struggles. I mean, I have personally learned about the tradition through service. And you know the best way to learn any tradition? Break it. You see why it's there. You see why unity, you know, get disunity once. I think we all experienced that. Anybody who's been involved in any services, you know, where this group here, you got the leader in this faction, and this faction, you're fighting and this and that, and pretty soon, you know, it turns into catastrophe. That's how I learned about that tradition. I was involved in that stuff. You know, the second tradition. Well, I think I know, you know, Matna. The group conscience decided what to call the area. We got bigger, we named it Lahamana, Laurel Highland Mountain Narcotics Anonymous, or whatever the acronym says. Anyhow, you know, these are the things, you know, these are the gifts. It's the experience. It was the giving. And you get by giving. Any gifts I got in recovery, I have to give it all away, or I don't have none. And people gave me what I needed to stay clean one day at a time. You know what I mean? You know, material things are fine, but you know what? I got to work for them. Spiritual things are fine. You know, I got to work for them. I don't recall anybody handing me my clean time. You know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's a continuous struggle. What they did hand me was a set of tools. Most important tool in my toolbox is the steps. You know, especially, a lot of people say it's the first step. No, for me, it's the 10th step. You know, continue to take personal inventory when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. You know what that is to me? That's a gauge. That gauges my spiritual condition. And I believe that I have a daily reprieve based on maintenance of my spiritual condition. If I'm spiritually fit, you can put all my favorite chemicals in front of me. I can't use them if I wanted to. If I'm not spiritually fit, you can't keep them away from me. You can't hide them. You can't bury them. I'll find them. That's the difference. That's a spiritual condition. And for me, you know, a spiritual condition is the time I live in my life. Do I have resentments in my life? Do I have self-pity in my life? Do I have anger in my life? You know, I have negative things in my life. Is it draining me of my spirit? You know, and if it is, a 10 step tells me, hey, you're low on gas here. You better get yourself to a meeting. You better work some steps. Maybe the insanity that, you know, hey, using wasn't so bad. I think all of us get that idea, you know, or anything else, you know, attacks us from all ends. You know, sometimes my worst time staying clean isn't when, you know, shit's falling all apart. It's when things are going good and get complacent. Oh, I'm too busy to go to meetings. Or I don't need this meeting. Or, you know, somebody pissed me off at me. I ain't going to meeting no more. These kinds of things, you know what I mean? You know, any gifts I get in recovery could all be taken away from me. Very simple. I pick up, they're all gone. You know what I mean? And if we survive a relapse, it says in our basic text in recovery and relapse, boy, we learned something from that. You know, my drug of choice tore me apart. It will kill me. I have zero tolerance for it. It ceased to make me feel good. The worst part of drugs, one of the other biggest gifts I got, drugs have ceased to make me feel good. I cannot get high no more. This program has screwed up my using. I can't use nothing and enjoy it. I try. You know, I tried all kinds of combinations. I tried to the point I overdosed. It won't work anymore. It's been taken away. It took a spiritual awakening to get that. Because the worst part about drugs is they make us feel good. That's why we keep using regardless of all consequences, you know. First time I OD'd, it was scary. Fifth time I did, it wasn't. You know? First time I went to jail was scary. You know, third or fourth time wasn't. That's like that with any consequences. I think in order to continue to actively use, you know, we have to change our, we have to adapt our standards to our what's going on in order to continue to use. You know, I found in recovery I got to do the same thing only in reverse. I got to change my standards. The other gift of recovery is that, you know, when I came in here, I was afraid. Honest to God, I was afraid. I knew I was going to use. I knew this wasn't going to work. I had to keep chemicals of all sorts away from me. I had to keep sick people away from me. I was afraid. You know, I couldn't, you know, if I didn't make a meeting a day, I thought I was going to use. That's how I felt. I mean, I was scared shitless, and I got beat up so bad, I did not want to use anymore. You know, that won't continue to keep me clean. That's a tool there that, yeah, that helped me for the first 9 months. That helped me until I got to my fifth step. If I took the fifth step in this program, you know, the fifth step in this program freed me of the obsession and the compulsion to use drugs. It's been lifted out of me. It took me to the fifth step. I heard people say that the first step did it. I heard people say the third step did it. I heard people say the ninth step did it. But for me, I had a rain cloud. And until I got to the fifth step of this program, and I made it to God and another person, the exact nature of my wrongs, I did not have the humility and self-acceptance necessary to stay clean. You know, I was a time bomb. All you had to do was get me on a bad day and put some chemicals in front of me, and I was gone. Even though I didn't want to, my want doesn't matter no more. That's where my addiction took me. Wanting to use or not wanting to use doesn't matter. You get me in the right, in a sick frame of mind, and you put chemicals in front of me, even to this day, I use, whether I want to or not. My will has nothing to do with it. That's what I mean when I say I'm powerless. I think that's what we mean when we say we're powerless. So, you know, the thing is these are the gifts. This is the understanding was given to me. How did I get to the fifth step in this program? You know, I didn't grab the banner and run to the fifth step. I didn't do all that. You know, I had a sponsor, and you know where his foot was? It was right here. Because you know what he seen me? He seen in me himself. He was an act just like me, and he said, you know, if you don't make it, or you ain't gonna make it. And he cared enough to keep pushing me to work these steps. And part of me believed him, and part of me didn't want to, and I kicked and screamed. But you know what? I worked them. I worked all 12, and I continue to work all 12. These are the gifts that were given to me. And you know what? I found something. Did you ever notice? You know, the first word of every step except 12 has we. I cannot work the steps by myself. It is impossible. The steps do brain surgery on me. Do I want to do brain surgery on myself? No. I need another act to work the steps. You know, that's what sponsorship is all about. I'm sure that, you know, driving my sponsor nuts helps keep him clean. You know? So I don't mind when other people drive me nuts. When they give me that so-called title of sponsor, that doesn't bother me a bit. Call me at 3 in the morning. Call me at 2 in the morning. You know, the other gift that this program gave me is that I did a lot of things. If there was justice and if life was fair, I wouldn't be standing here. I'd be locked up somewhere. But this program gave me a chance to make amends for the things I did to society by doing jail service, by doing rehab service, H&I work. H&I work is important because some addicts cannot get to regularly scheduled meetings. It's impossible because of their circumstances. NA does not recognize any walls. None. We take the meetings to the addicts. And I was part of that. And I got to do some of the time I deserved to do. 1 hour increments. It was really a gift that they let me in and they let me right out. You know, but those are the kinds of things that recovery gave to me. I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak, and that's about all I have to say.
Okay, we have another speaker on the same topic, guest recovery, Edgar.
Love big crowds. I love them, you know? Yeah, all right. Hi, everybody. I'm Ed, and I'm an addict.
Hey.
And I got asked to share, and I'm very, very happy that I'm able to be up here standing in front of a nice crowd like you people today, because today is a beautiful day. It's not raining, you know, everybody's happy, and being, doing what's